Welcome to Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convicts, where we have unfiltered conversation with trained comedians. I'm your host, Sharonda Jacobs. Good evening and welcome to Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convicts. My name is Sharonda Jacobs. I'm the host.
I'm Keith Lookaround Morris.
And I'm Big Sad Cedric Ledet.
Today our topic will be on mental health. We do have a special guest here today, and I'm going to let Sid introduce this guest.
What up, y'all? Hey, this is my honor, my pleasure, to introduce my best friend, hence the mental health game, man. We've been knowing each other for years, since the 12th grade. Man, y'all put your hands together for Carl Blevin, man.
Did he say put your hands together?
What'd you call him? What's his
name? That's Carl Blevin.
Sizzle who?
What's his whole
name? Oh, Sizzling.
What's his whole name? Sizzling.
Yeah. Sizzling in the building.
What up, young Carl?
What up? Finally got your ass on the show. Yeah, how you guys doing?
Man. We good, man. We good.
Okay, we mental health right here. We all crazy.
So I'm going to tell y'all.
I got y'all.
All y'all need to go lay on somebody's couch for about 2 weeks.
Because
y'all got serious issues. I'm about the only sane one up here.
Not when your wig is shifting on.
You know what they say, the one who talked the most be the one who need to get
Well, I see a therapist. I'm not ashamed to say
that. Oh, that's right. That's right.
So, Carl.
Yes, sir.
So, can you give us a little insight on the mental health from your point of view?
Let's see. I've been working in the mental health field since 2001. I'm a social worker. I work for the L.A. County. I used to work for the Department of Mental Health. I worked there for about...
So was you crazy
years.
When you worked for the Department of Mental Health?
He's still crazy.
Because I'm going to tell you something. You got to be crazy to work with crazy.
You know what? A lot of people say that you got to have some sort of, you know, screw loose to do the job that you do. And I concur.
Yeah.
I concur with
I
that
know,
a little
when
bit.
When I go into the psych patient at the hospital,
yeah.
You got to go in there and be crazy right along with them crazy.
Oh,
nuts.
Well, you know, they always say you got to meet the patient.
I do. I know how to cope with them because, you know, I've been at the county 37 years. And I know he's been there a long time. So... You have to switch. And see, I can't take no personal tools like in there.
What you have to do is you have to meet the patient where they're at.
Yes.
And you have to be unbiased
yes.
when you go in there. I've had patients that would tell me something like, I hear voices and I want to kill myself.
Damn.
Yeah, you true. Know.
True.
So then now, there's a batter of questions that you have to ask.
So them. Now when they say that, do you have to report that or what do you do when you hear that?
They already know they're in there. They don't say that all the time.
Well, anyway. The process for that is you have to ask a batter of questions.
Wow.
Like you got to say, okay, so do you hear those voices now? What are those voices telling you to do? Are those voices telling you to hurt yourself or hurt someone? Now, if they say, hey, the voices are telling me to hurt myself or hurt someone, I have to report that.
Yes.
Have you ever had to put your hands on?
Man, I can't talk about that.
I got you. I understand, brother.
So hold on, because I have a question. Because my therapist always asks me before we get on the phone, are you feeling some kind of way? Do you want to hurt somebody? I really be want to hurt people, but I have to tell them no. Because
I no, you don't have to tell them. You lying. Don't lie to them.
But I don't.
No. Listen, they're not gonna lock you up for that.
I'm gonna say they might lock me up.
Oh.
Well, see, I work at, like I said, me and him work at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna tell you which one he works at, but mm-hmm. I know I work at LAC USC Medical Center. I've been there for 37 years.
Mm-hmm. So what?
Yeah, who
I've
cares?
Been there 37 years.
Years. I got four more years, and I
why y'all didn't
I got
right.
one more. Hold on. I got four more years, and I can buy plenty of PUSSY.
Okay, see, the thing about it is why y'all hated on me because y'all had just started working.
He's about to retire. I'm so mad at that.
Hey, man, I ain't mad at it.
And it's like, no, seriously, when I go into the mental health department, there's certain things I have to be careful when I go in there with.
Yeah.
Because, I'm equipment maintenance worker. No, I'm equipment maintenance worker. So I can't really have my tools out.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Like screwdrivers.
Right. Because, man, let me tell you something. There's a floor.
Wow.
In the hospital. Where all the psych patients are at.
Yeah, and I've been in there.
When you go there, you have to be on your P's and Q's.
Yes.
Because what you got to understand is, these patients just walking up and down.
Up and down the highway.
They walking up and down the aisle. They have security there. They got the nurses and the doctors there. People who prescribe the medication and all that type of stuff. But if you're not on a 5150 or a 5250 hold, 5150 is 3 days. 5250 is 2 weeks.
So I'm gonna ask you a question because a lot of people watch our podcast that don't know that 5150 does not. They don't know what 5150 is because they're in a different part of the world.
5150 means that you had some type of psychotic break.
Wow. Okay.
And that means that wherever you're at, they have to call. They're gonna call the police, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the officers come, they're gonna do their part, and then they're gonna call the mental health people.
Okay.
Lock you up.
And then they'll take you. Then
lock your ass.
They're gonna
up.
Take you to a facility where they're going to observe you.
So that's your ass up behind a door. You can't unlock. You gotta get a button pressed. I don't give a fuck.
Okay, so
he's not lying.
5152 is what?
No, 5250.
Okay, 5250
is another form, but that's when you're on a 14-day hold.
2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
My son was locked up because he played crazy years ago, and I told him, you can't go to school and tell these people that you hear, see things, and all that. They're going to lock your ass up.
Mm-hmm.
So when they locked him up, the first thing they do, and this is true, people out there, and if they prescribe you with medication.
Wow. They pump you with meds. Now,
first thing they do.
With the medication, it just depends on what it is and how much of it you get. Because I probably really shouldn't say this, but
whisper in
my ear.
Don't
say it. Say it.
Sometimes the medication kind of makes the situation worse.
Ooh, I heard of that before.
You know what I'm
saying? I was going to say that, but I let you say it because you're a professional. Okay, you don't say it, but Keith Morris can say what the fuck he wants to say. That motherfucking medication make you worse than you are when you get in there.
But like, you ain't had no medication, and you still
point,
worse.
Because I know you're what crazy. They do. That's right. I've been crazy all my
that
life.
That medication, they say, like, I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker.
But see, the doctors, one thing about doctors, and this is people don't understand. When you sit there and tell them bullshit, they listening to you.
Mm.
So they're going to subscribe you with high dose or low dose.
Prescribe.
Prescribe. Subscribe.
Wait. What did he say? Prescribe?
Subscribe.
Subscribe. I know, like I'm subscribed to fucking Netflix.
You can subscribe this week. Next week, you
prescribe.
So let me expand on that right there, Mr. Keith. When, say for instance, you have a child, right?
Mm-hmm. I have one.
You have one. Your son was 15.
He's a 5150, 24/7.
And they prescribe the medication.
Wow.
It is your responsibility as the parent to monitor that kid.
Oh, but you can't do it when they got your kids locked up.
No.
You can't.
I'm talking about
at
when
home?
They're at home.
Oh, no. He don't take it when he at home. I'm talking about when he got locked up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
When he got locked up, they start fast. I said, don't start taking that medication.
The thing is, he has no choice.
I know. You have to take
it. He has to take the medication.
And then when you get out, you can say, I don't need this.
But
garbage.
Once you get to a certain age, you can deny the med. Yeah. You can say, I'm not taking that.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? But.
But see, a lot of people don't know that.
They don't know that.
They don't know that.
What's the age?
18 and over.
Right. Some cases it's 16.
Yeah, 18
some
and over.
16 too.
You can say, I don't need that. And they cannot force you to take it.
They can't force you to take it. There's nothing.
But then they'll try to hold you longer.
Well, you got to know how to
play the game.
Play that game.
You got to know how to play the game.
You got to know how to play that game. I mean, I know people who go in there and they be in there 2 days.
Damn.
5150. Then I know people who be there 14 days.
Now, I know a lot
of people. It just depends on your progress level while you're in there.
Yeah. Don't it also depend on your insurance, too?
But check this out.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about getting money, too.
But check that. That's what I'm about to say. My homeboy used to be at the hospital with me. He was a GR. He said,
general relief worker.
They get paid to work.
Oh.
So this is L.A. shit. This is not Detroit shit. So,
or Georgia.
Yeah. So when you go into the doctor and you sit up there and play crazy, he said he used to go up there and shit on himself.
Oh, come on,
this is
man.
True shit. This is true shit.
I believe.
This is true shit.
Yeah,
to get a check.
Yeah,
he go in there and shit on himself. The doctor said your ass is crazy.
Yeah.
And he go get the doctor subscribing him. He's crazy. But he got to go back not one time, multiple times, because they want to see if you're going to keep being that motherfucking crazy. And every time he go in there, he'll pee on himself, shit on himself, pee on himself, shit on himself, just to get a goddamn crazy check.
If
people doing this all the time, it's a lot of people out there that's not crazy.
I know.
But they playing crazy.
They playing crazy. Yeah. Even at our job, they play crazy to get a fucking bed.
But see, let me tell you something about the people that play crazy. The thing that screws them up is when you got, actually, you might have to take that medication.
That's right.
Ooh.
You might have to take it.
You are listening to Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convicts.
They'll take it for a check. You know what I'm saying? Then again, it's too late.
They're going to fuck their ass up. Huh?
Yeah.
It alters. Let me tell you something about medication. And this is what I believe about the meds. It don't stop the behavior. It just slows you down.
Slow it down.
And it make you process stuff better.
And that's what...
That's my belief. That's what I've seen.
That's in any kind of medication.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, say like you got a headache. You take some...
Tylenol.
Some Tylenol. What does it do?
Slows it down.
Well, I have some medication for headaches, and I inhale it one time, and it makes it go away. It's a migraine.
But it's drugs. You understand that?
But no matter what, it's drugs.
So what's your medication for not giving up that pussy?
We're not talking about sex on this show, sir. We're not talking about sex today on this show.
I have mental issues. No shit. I have mental issues.
We got to do a show one day.
And the me and I meet have more mental issues, so that doesn't work at all.
Okay.
But that could be true.
That's true. But since a lot of people at our jobs are crazy, they have sex all on the steps.
Wow.
They have sex across
the
street.
Let me tell you something. I work with people.
Yeah.
I know higher ups who are on meds.
Yeah.
We have supervisors and guys, bipolar, and they taking meds.
Yeah.
And they will, I remember when I first started working with the county in 01, when I did my orientation, I'm in orientation and the guy straight up said, yeah, I'm bipolar. Mm-hmm. But I take my medication, so.
Right now I'm good.
I'm good. I was just like, oh, wow. So I'm thinking to myself, well, damn, one day if you come up in there without your meds, what you going to do, shoot this motherfucker up?
And that's real. See, that's what people don't understand about mental patients. Everybody somewhere has somebody in their family has a mental issue.
No, 85% of your friends has mental
illness.
And
I know I have a mental illness because of the county, of what they did to me. And
I
lost my job for 4 years and I wanted to kill myself. Because I lost everything. Seriously, it's true stuff.
Right, so I just see how my whole facial expression
and I lost everything. You know, when you work for a job for 18 and a half years, this is your life.
Yeah.
And they fire you for no reason. Yeah. Now you know you have no income coming in.
Going to a downward spiral.
You just go down with your family, your women, your wife leave you, your girlfriend, whatever you got, leaves you, and now you're depressed.
Yeah.
And the first thing comes to your mind, I need to kill myself.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is no bullshit.
And let me tell you something. A lot of people in the African-American community think that counseling, going to see a therapist, that's taboo.
Yeah, you crazy.
I'm here to tell you that
everybody needs some counseling.
Everybody need something.
We all got PTSD.
I'm not going to say what you need because I haven't diagnosed you. But what I will say is that everybody needs somebody that they could talk to that's unbiased.
Exactly.
Who's not going to judge you.
And who will
talk because about your friends, your family, your mom, your wife, your daughter, your whoever, they're going to agree with you. They're going to say, oh, yeah, you okay, woo-dee-woo-woo-woo. Yeah, they're going to say
not.
That.
But you're not. You know what's so cold? Like, man, we talk every fucking day.
Right.
And he always is unbiased. If I'm wrong, he'll say, nigga, you wrong. If I'm right.
That's me.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, see, that's
we
what
always
need.
Have talk. Yeah, he always unbiased. Yeah.
And it's not about because he works in the mental illness. It's because he's your friend.
Right.
A real friend
is going to tell
will tell you something.
But you know what? A lot of people don't have that in their life.
That's right.
Because that environment that they're in is toxic.
That's like when my friends call me about their boyfriend. I say, now, you know I'm single, so I'm going to tell you leave that motherfucker. But then I tell them the truth. Like, look, girl, this is what you really need to do and this and that. But I'm staying out your relationship. But you can call me if you need me and I'll listen to
like
you.
My best buddy, he was, you know, when no he was, we was together, you know, when he got in the military. You know, a lot of people don't realize military get you on drugs.
So.
Hold on.
Military is
hold on.
Terrible.
So when you go to military, you never did this stuff. You go in there and you come out as a drug addict. Mm. So when he got that shit, I was there for him. No matter what he did, he was still my brother. You get what I'm saying? And I talked to him like I talked to anybody. Nigga, get off this motherfucking shit. If you don't get off this shit, I'm gone. You get what I'm saying? I don't need you to be like this, and then I can't be there for you. So you have to give him that 100% of realness instead of bullshit. Oh, you okay? Oh, you all right?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know. It's tough love.
As a true friend, you stay there with him.
That's right.
And you lift him back up and you help him get off that drug. But a lot of people from the military come, they end up becoming alcoholics as well.
Yeah, because.
But if you think about it, they all been trained to just kill, and destroy.
And a lot of people don't understand that. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Oh, you go to the military to get a job. No, you go in there to kill. Your job is to kill. It ain't about no goddamn cooking.
But they sugarcoat it.
It ain't about no damn walking the beach. It's all about kill.
They sugarcoat it to get you in there. So I'm doing a documentary on military PTSD because I never knew how deep it was until my brother Kenneth that was here.
Mr. Clap.
Get off my brother.
Can't
nobody talk about my brother
but
me.
No, we can talk about it. I don't give a damn.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. And we all walk around with it, but the military is a little different.
Yes.
You know, my brother, when I first started living with him, I would go past his room at night, and he would be like this on the side of his bed in position. Wow. So I used to think he was playing, you know, to try to trick me at first. But then I noticed he was doing it too often. And so I remember going to psychiatry with him. I said, look, y'all got to give him something because I'm afraid to be in the house. He thought I was one of them little Chinese men who just shoot me.
He was in the military, right? Mm-hmm. But when we was out here doing stupid shit, he flipped into his military mode.
Wow.
He
started
putting trees on his head.
Yeah.
Jumping through trees, talking about y'all ain't playing right. It's you gotta understand. Yeah. And you can't, I mean, when I'm young, you like, this fool is crazy.
You think it's funny too, though.
But after you get older, you start filling out what this PTSD is, you start looking like, man, that shit from the military.
Yeah, it's real because it's when you in the, and it depends on what you do in the military.
Yeah.
If you a sniper, or you on the front line, you killing people, you doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Man, there's no way that you're not going to come back with something messed up with
And just to piggyback off of that, and also these bras out here is crazy as motherfuckers,
too. Yeah, because they've been to the military, too. It's no different. It's male and female.
I ain't saying you, but y'all know, you know.
It's a lot of, but you got to think about what happened in their childhood growing up.
A lot of them been molested.
And then it's like, if you don't get that bond. See, a mother has to bond with their children from birth.
I understand
birth.
It, but why y'all do this? I'm meeting you, right? How the fuck you going to say, you got to earn my trust? I go the other way when I
thought we was on
mental I ain't did nothing to you.
Relationship.
I just know what I'm saying, though.
Let him
vent. Ain't that some mental issue?
Hell no.
You gonna tell me I gotta earn your trust? Yeah. She don't know me.
You gotta earn her trust because she don't know she been treated bad.
Nah, don't do me like that.
But you gotta understand. Hold on. It's just like you. You meet a woman and you be telling her, look,
I need somebody
to bring something to the table too with me. You just ain't gonna come in my life and I ain't bringing nothing.
I get that.
The mental health aspect of that conversation that you had with that young lady is I know exactly where Mr. Keep is going. I know exactly where he's going. So, it's the trauma that she been through in her life. I'm not saying it's an excuse.
No,
I'm just saying you got baby daddy issues.
Her daddy, her real daddy.
Her dad could have possibly been out of her life
or
molested her. Yeah. Her mom could have been in the streets, prostituting, doing whatever, touching her, molesting her.
Think about it.
So, when we out here meeting these women, man,
you have to earn their trust.
You have to look at the totality of the situation. Now, we don't want to do that because we ain't. When I meet a woman, I'm not thinking that she's about to be my client.
Yeah, exactly.
My patient.
Yeah, that part right there.
Yeah, if you're going to be my client or my patient, then I'm not. I mean, I ain't hollering at you.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time for that.
Why are you looking at him?
So I'm just saying, I don't have...
Always remember, this is fiction and
non-fiction.
This show is non-fiction or fiction. Believe what you want to believe. We don't make you believe anything we say.
Yeah, put that disclaimer out there.
That's right.
I'm not saying I'm a...
Believe what you believe.
I'm not saying I'm a professional. This is just from
my
experiences,
exactly.
What I've done in my life, where I've worked, and what I've seen.
And whenever I tell anybody to watch, when we watch Sitting on the Couch, It's all nonfiction and fiction. So always believe what you want to believe.
Believe what
we're
you want
to
believe.
We're not here to tell you. What we're telling you is how we experience what we experience.
Right.
Not what you experience.
Right.
So when you look at this couch, don't come fucking talking about, oh, you said this. No. You believe what you want to believe. It's fiction and nonfiction.
But I do agree with you. Some of these women out here are off the hook.
They are.
I do agree.
So it's like me. It's like, Rob, you walk into a bar, you earn my trust. What you got to give me? Bitch, I ain't got shit to give you. Some dick and some bubble gum.
Right.
That's all I got.
Fresh shot of bubble gum.
Thunder!
Fresh shot of bubble gum.
I'm not going to get into no relationship with you. I'm not going to marry you. Because the first thing you did, you stepped to me wrong. What can I do for you?
Yeah. But that's the same thing with guys. When they step to you wrong, like, what's up with that?
First thing I ask a woman, how you doing?
Let me tell you something. A lot of men, we have trauma.
Yeah, a lot of
our trauma. And I'm gonna speak from my own personal experiences. My trauma came from being in the streets.
Yeah.
Running the streets, doing whatever I was doing in the streets.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of my trauma in my life came from that.
But I'm,
seeing people get murdered in front of me.
Ooh.
You know what I'm
we
saying?
We all been through that. You know, my
selling drugs on a corner, running from the police.
All day long.
Getting into fights with
gang
niggas at the club, at the Central Club.
You know,
knocking niggas out on the rap and shit suit. Like that.
See, one thing about us. And people, see, you Detroit, so you know about this shit. L.A. is a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely a war zone. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. You can take your kids out of that zone, but 10 years from now, people are moving to that zone.
Yeah,
just like
sure.
Moreno Valley. Just
it's, like all the it's environmental.
When they moved the 50 freeway here, they moved all of us out.
Right.
Open the doors. So you go out here and buy a house for $88,000, $75,000. So black folks jumped on that
mm-hmm.
because they say, I can afford a house now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take your badass kids with you, seriously, you take your game-banging-ass kids with you, now they start game-banging out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they start game-banging San Bernardino, Colton, all Montclair, all that shit. So
or
now you brought the shit from L.A., now you took it out there.
You are listening to the Comedy Convicts.
Right? So, but you still got the OGs here starting new shit. So, no, you can't get away from it. You just have to teach your kids, be careful.
Be careful.
Because that's a mental problem, too, when your kids walking to school and they getting bullied.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
It's tough out here because, you know, you got all this stuff, man. You got social media.
Yes.
You got just, there's so many different, these children.
Mm.
And we as adults, but more so the kids, the younger generation. They have so many different outlets, man. When
wow.
we was coming up, it wasn't, I don't remember having no Facebook or Instagram
yeah,
or none of that
we
shit.
We had no social
what
media.
We had, what did
the
we
tar.
Have?
Black Planet.
Black Planet or whatever
Black
that
Planet.
Was. I didn't have that, but I remember
yeah.
we had that.
But that was the first one that came out. MySpace.
MySpace.
MySpace
that's
was the
it.
First
right.
one.
Right.
Then Black Planet came out for black people.
Right.
But you got to understand.
Yeah, I had MySpace when I was
growing up. No, I'm just saying, but you got to understand. Mental, if people get bullied on that stuff and they get traumatized.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna kill you if you don't tap in at this right time. And if and they get they do they tapping in,
get bullied on the internet.
But it's easy
but
to get bullied.
One thing
on the
I'm
internet.
Gonna tell you though, one thing I will say is, and that's no disrespect, and this is not a shot at anybody, but these new generation of kids coming up, they soft.
Yeah.
They soft as hell. They soft like
you
ice cream. Internet.
Yeah, they soft as Charmin, man.
And it's
they
sad
soft
because
and
because
they lazy.
The stuff that
and
we,
they lazy.
The stuff that we went through in our lifetime that was
yeah.
traumatic to us,
yes.
they would probably would have done killed themselves or something right now with
it's
some
true.
Of the stuff that
and
we done built
and it's true because mental illness, like you say,
kids
mental illness is a serious thing now.
But a lot of
it's out open now. It was like back in the 80s and 90s, it really wasn't out there.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
But
now,
the social media and all these different platforms, you got Twitter, social media, Instagram, Facebook, and whatever else they got
and,
out
and
here.
You know,
Periscope,
and the thing about it is when,
Twitter.
But the thing about it is when white folks start really killing themselves, that's when the fucking mental illness start getting big because now the white folks can't control their own people. You know, when black folks do it or Mexicans do it, it's no problem. Let them motherfuckers kill themselves. But the white world start doing it, now they want to invest
man,
more.
Man, white you start doing it, the game changes then.
Yeah. Then the white money starts coming to the white people. Now you got to help the blacks, you got to help the Mexicans, you got to help the Asians, you got to help everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't realize this is going to always be a white society and a white bullshit world. Because as long as black folks do something, white folks not doing it, they don't give a fuck.
Right.
But once white folks start, see, when the drug epidemic came, they threw that shit in the black neighborhood. But when the white folks start getting on that shit and sucking dicks and all that shit, the bullshit, the motherfuckers start putting money into getting the crack epidemic. Hold on.
Okay.
So you got to realize, I'm 60 years old. I seen this shit. Mm. I seen this shit. I sold drugs. I did everything. So when I seen that shit, when the white folks start getting on that shit, when you got policemen, firemen, doctors, lawyers, start sniffing that cocaine, smoking that crack, white folks, now it's a problem now. Yeah. It's a problem now. Yeah. So now the government wants to invest into the white folks, but now you got to invest into everybody.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's
just like homeless now. All these goddamn white folks on the streets now, super white.
We got to do something about this.
Now we got to do something about it. So now they're building these little mad homes and all that shit, getting all these. It's because long as black and Mexicans ain't fucking with the white folks, they don't give a fuck. But once they start, white folks start getting caught up in this shit, now they start investing money into it.
That's because they start camping out in front of their house.
And that's just like with the three-strike law. When the three-strike law funny came out, ain't nothing but blacks and Mexicans getting struck out. Then when the white people start getting struck out, we got to reform this law. We got to do something about this.
Right. And let me even tell you about, to piggyback what you said, Mr. Keita, about the homeless. And now that they trying to build these homes and all the stuff. But the problem is this with that. This right here is still not right.
The mental problem.
Because I've worked in a homeless program before. And I had clients who was like, hey, man, I feel you. And this is nice.
But I'm back on the streets.
But I'm on the streets. I've been homeless for 30 years.
They don't give a shit. And they don't want to pay bills. White folks don't want to pay bills.
I've been homeless for 30 years. My dope man right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got everything I need right here on the street. I mean, we put them up in these homes, and they don't want to be in there.
Now, let me ask you a question about this shit. We're going to talk, this all mental illness stuff we're talking about. When white folks, heroin addicts, you know that, right? Mm-hmm. So when they start shooting up, now they want to and give these people needles to shoot up.
Damn.
Back then, they wouldn't, that's, y'all don't know about that shit. They giving people needles to shoot their own shit up. See, this is what I'm talking about. When white folks start getting into this shit, and now it's getting worse on the white folk, now they got to figure out how can we make these people happy. So now they got to give needles to everybody. You get what I'm saying? They got to give needles to everybody to shoot up. Y'all don't know this is the true shit. So you got to start listening to this bullshit. When white folks start getting,
but see,
that's when they start helping
people. In Detroit, that's who was mainly known for shooting heroin. The white folks. And the young kids, it was high school kids, like 13 or 14 in the suburban areas that was using heroin. Now, black kids black kids smoke weed, but they didn't smoke, like, crack and cocaine. They didn't do heroin
like
that.
They had to be introduced to that by somebody.
But it took a lot for them to do that.
But in the 80s.
In the 80s, they weren't doing it, really. They were smoking weed.
No, shit. New York. L.A., that crack was a bag.
Crack didn't discriminate. It's just like Corona.
It didn't discriminate. So when white folks got on it, now it's a problem.
White folks, I'm telling you what I know. It used to be this white guy. White people been shooting heroin in Detroit forever. But a lot of them would suit back up. I know for a fact. I've seen this white guy come undressed.
We talking about the crack epidemic. We don't talk about the heroin.
Okay. Everybody but they went side by side. Yeah, heroin too.
No, but everybody got on that shit in the 80s. Am I right?
Yeah,
everybody.
It was a lot of money.
I mean, there was so much money to be made. You weren't getting no money in the 80s.
You was a scrub for real.
So I'm just saying, I was in that division. I was a hell of a crack seller. You know what I'm saying? I didn't give a
fuck. That's why. But see, you was buying a lot of crack coochie, too. That's how you know how they act.
No. Strawberry. That's how he was. He was buying strawberries.
Hold on. Did we say
what? We not. You said it.
Okay. I didn't say nothing about no sex. I said
crack coochie.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. When you had that crack cast, then you get them cubes and bits. When you cut it up, the crumbs was your crack pussy. Listen to what I'm saying. See, y'all don't know about the dope gang. The dope gang, since we want to talk about the mental illness and the dope gang, when you cut your shit up, all that crumbs, it's your pussy money. That's your pussy crumb and your $5 people, your $2 people. And then $2 make more than $20.
I remember it used to be a $3 crack house.
Hey, but they make more than $20.
Hey, look.
You know why? Because you people get $3 quicker than
$20. Yeah.
Right? So you have your kibbles and bits. And you sell that shit.
Yeah.
And you have your, kibbles and bits.
They used to talk about dog food. I remember in Detroit, they used to have some heroin called dog food. the dog food. Come get that.
But see, people don't understand. Off of that one. People don't understand the epidemic that happened. Where was smoking that shit? They wasn't selling. They were smoking their own product. That's why they say you don't get high on your own products.
Never get high on your own product.
So when you got mental illness, people coming from military, people got problems in the house, they start smoking that crack.
Because they're using the dope as a coping mechanism for whatever they're going through. It's just like when you smoke marijuana.
Do they get high from marijuana nowadays?
Hell yeah.
I mean, do they catch the munchies and they don't have munchies?
Hell yeah, that's the shit. That's
but it's just like you had a bad day at work or you got into it with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever it is, and now you upset, you mad. You gonna go smoke some weed, and what that's gonna do is gonna mask the pain or whatever it is, and then you gonna feel better about yourself.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of people smoke weed all day. Because
I thought it was because they didn't get high.
No, they smoke weed all day because that keeps them insane. They keep them sane.
They keep them calm. I know people who, right now, my personal friends that I know, men and women, who first thing they get up in the morning, they smoke a blunt.
They gotta have a blunt.
Ain't brush their teeth yet.
Ain't brush their damn teeth yet. Ain't wash their butt yet. But they smoking a blunt.
Because now it's so legal now. It's not, you can't really do nothing to nobody. When they came out with the marijuana cards, you know, everybody started having one. Then when they start having all these damn dispensaries, now you can't stop it. Then when they made it motherfucking legal, motherfucker be sitting at work, going to their car, getting loaded like a motherfucker, can't do nothing to them now. You know, because you don't know what kind of problem they have.
But that's at the job's discretion.
Yes. I was just going to say that. But it's legal statewide, but not federalized.
Always remember. You got a problem.
And
all shit they can do to you.
And on that note, y'all.
Can't lean on that. Hey, can't lean on that.
On that note.
You got a problem?
No. Tell everybody that what
I want to find out if you got a problem.
Oh, no, I don't have no problem.
You need to go down some
when that dude threw that piss on you, did you get mental issues?
Well, you know, I was actually going. That's when I started going to a motherfucking shrink.
That could have been his traumatic experience.
I had to take 3 motherfucking AIDS tests. That's some scary ass shit.
Yeah. That's a mental thing, because every time you drive that bus, you don't know if they're going to come throw some piss on you again.
Shit, then the fact that you got the urine through on you and now you got to go take these tests.
PTSD.
All this shit going on out here, COVID and.
And see, that's one thing about bus drivers. They get more stressed out than anybody. So I know they got a lot of mental issue problems because, you know, they want to fight the bus drivers. They want to I ain't got no money, so you got to let me ride. Hold on, partner, I ain't got to let you do shit. Get your ass off my bus.
The state going to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, but it's not the point.
Yeah, me personally, I don't give a fuck about the fare because at the end of the day, if you put something in that motherfucking nut, we still going to get paid. Yeah. So
right.
I open the door and literally look out the window.
It costs $10 to ride the bus. So the state
can just get on the bus and not paying. It's all good.
Let me have a courtesy ride and just walk to the back.
Right.
Because if we call it in and say, hey, they don't want to pay the fare, man, if you don't get your motherfucking ass to the end of that line, they
ain't because you know what? All you got to do is hit that button and let the state know who pays and how much they pay.
It's a federal job.
So it's $10 to ride the bus, but they only charge $1.20.
They don't track how many people be on the bus?
Yeah,
they hit the button.
Yeah, we just got to hit the button. If they don't pay, they don't pay.
Boop. Easy money.
Okay, so now we're going to close it out.
Damn.
I just want to say it to let people know that he did have PTSD.
PTSD.
He got PTSD.
He got
PTSD. So at the end of that call, man, it was a pleasure, man, coming through. Tell us where we can find you at.
Not the hospital.
Not on Figueroa.
Hey, man.
Hopefully not on Santa Monica Boulevard.
No, them cleaner over there. No, man, you can check me out on Dark Man CZ, man. That's my Facebook page. I mean, my
Dark
Instagram.
Man who?
Dark Man CZ. C E Z E E.
Young Sizzle Lee.
Dark Man CZ. Holla. Wow. That's my Instagram page.
Sizzle Lee.
Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy,
anything
girl.
You mean, holla at
Sizzle
boy.
Lee.
Say it. Where can they find you at?
You know we always go this way. Okay. What are you
but
doing?
I gotta close out, so I'm about to go
late. Okay, I'm Keith Marsh, you guys.
We do this every Keith day. Go this way, then you shut it out.
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not a social media person. I don't like that, but you know, we have to do that to pump our shows.
Yeah, right.
We have a comedy show starting November 1st at the View.
I'm there.
Music Bar.
I'll be there.
Carl, we need you to put some asses
next to
Honey
Lion. I'm going to try.
And Normandy. So this is what we do. Sit on the couch with Sharonda. Go ahead, see it.
Cedric Ledet, Big Ced, you can find me on Instagram, CEDLEDET, Facebook, Cedric Ledet.
Better known as Side Nigga.
Side Nigga Ced. Like I said, we got a show coming up. It's going to be our grand opening.
Side Nigga Ced and Sizzling.
It's going to be our grand opening. So we need everybody's support. November 1st at the View, the Music View Bar. So we need y'all to show up and show out. We're going to give y'all a hell of a good show. Take it home, sis.
She's trying to date Sizzling.
She wants some Sizzling. Sizzling.
See, that's why they need mental health. That's why they need to go lay on somebody's couch because they have issues.
There's no problem.
Hush up.
She's about to give her some pussy to Sizzling tonight, boy.
Go ahead.
Y'all give some pussy to Sizzling tonight?
No, I'm not giving up. So anyway, you can find me at Sharonda Jenkins on Facebook, Comedy Convicts on Instagram, or I just made a new Instagram page, Sharonda Jacobs.2022. You can find us on, it's going to be XM Radio. I just got to get the station, so I got to get it. But you can also come on our live. No, you can come on our live on Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah, we do got Clubhouse.
We have Clubhouse as well. So don't forget to support us here and at the new comedy venue, guys.
The View Music Bar. 190th and Western, next to Walmart.
I'm going to host so y'all know what time it is.
Question. What? Are we going to be here next week? Because I know we got the show next week also.
We're still going to go to the show. And then we're going to go there.
What time does it start over?
The store starts at 8:30.
Okay.
But if it's a
football game. And it's Taco Tuesday, guys.
If it's a football basketball game on.
Probably a basketball game.
If it's a basketball game on the Lakers or something, it'll start a little later.
Ain't nobody watching this. Sorry, bastards.
So, Taco Tuesday, you can come eat.
Come eat, get your tacos on.
And go to Eventbrite, y'all. Support us, man.
Tell them how much the ticket is.
Just buy a ticket even if you don't
go. But you know, Sizzling.
Yes, sir.
You want a little bit of Sharonda? It ain't worth it.
Coming from a broke dick nigga, he should know. But he couldn't get it up, so it's okay.
Shots fired. Boom, boom, boom.
That means I don't need no more kids. I don't need sex anyway. I don't care. I'm old now. I don't need nobody.
You are old, and you got to pay.
That's right.
Everybody take us home, though. Take us home, baby.
We don't have to lean into the side. Take us home. That's that Detroit look, you guys. Anyway, that's our big sister. I love y'all too. This is our manager, you guys, and we love her. We treat her like a boy. She wants to be one, so we treat her like one. We don't treat her like a homegirl.
My dick might be bigger than both of you. You probably is. That's why you're a transsexual. You don't want nobody to know what you really are until you pull your pants. Take us home, bro. Take us home. Take us home. And you agree with him, sir? No, take us home. Okay. Anyway, we want to give a shout out to Tuesday. Oh, yeah, Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday's not here today, y'all. So she's acting like the mother convict. Niggas in fly. Tuesday, time for niggas in fly. Tuesday be here. Her daughter is sick.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Give a shout out to Tuesday.
She'll
be here next week, hopefully, if her daughter's well. You know, we miss her because she is our sidekick, too. That's Sharonda's road dog.
Yeah, so we're shooting her ass down today till next week.
But that's all right because I can handle myself. I'm from the east side of Detroit. Don't ever forget that. You better ask Judge Mathis about us. I will cut you, shoot you at the same time.
Are you a Detroit Pistons fan?
I support all my Detroit teams.
Can you take us home now? Goddamn, we're football.
Anyway, I want to say thank y'all for watching our show today. Our show today.
That's the illness. You want me to close it out?
I got this.
You sure you got it? You need your medication?
I took my medication.
Okay,
and once again, man, thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Hey, man, you're welcome here anytime you want to come through. Thank you, I appreciate it. So, hush up, y'all.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, we want to say thank you today to everybody who watched the show or went and watched the show.
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker.
I can't stand him. Anyway, guys, that's our show for today. And we'll talk to you guys. guys next week. Next week is going to be a good one, too.
There we go. It's a wrap, y'all.
It's a wrap.
Thank you for joining the Comedy Convict Show today. We hope you had a good time. Be sure to join us next week for more unfiltered conversations.